going to talk about Tillage erosion later in the talk, and so I wanted to give you a little information about that in case you're not aware of it. Tillage erosion is a progressive downslope movement of soil by the mechanical action of tillage implements. And in general, soil movement by tillage increases with increasing slope, but the net transport of soil is determined by the change in slope. And so the net effects of tillage erosion are soil removal from areas of increasing slope, which are the convexities in the landscape, and soil accumulates in areas of decreasing slope, or the concavities in the landscape. And tillage erosion rates are affected by the design of the tillage implement, the depth, the speed, and a whole number of factors relating to the tillage operation. But in general, it's quite obvious that tillage erosion rates are greatest when you're using frequent intensive tillage. And in our area of the world, we have calcareous subsoils, which are light in color, and so the effects of tillage erosion are very visible in the North American prairies. And what we have here is a typical landscape, a hilly landscape in the prairies of North America. And here we have exposed calcareous subsoil in the convex portions of the landscape, and we have deep accumulations at the basins of the base of the hills and in concavities in the landscape. So this landscape is primarily affected by tillage erosion. It's also affected by water erosion and wind erosion. And so when we think about how do we increase productivity in these eroded landscapes, because in the slide I showed earlier, that was a 4-year research site, and we had yield reductions of about 50% in those areas where we had topsoil removal compared to areas that were the highest yielding areas of the field in the concavities. So we're thinking, how can we restore these landscapes to reach their full productivity as they may have been when the sod was broken 100 years ago? And so we're thinking about just doing a physical movement of soil from areas of soil accumulation back up the hill to the areas where the soil originated. And we're calling this landscape restoration. So we just take soil from areas where it's accumulating, move it back up the hill. This is kind of a bad photo, but it's just a landscape restoration that's occurring in New Zealand. Some parts of the world, they do this relatively frequently and routinely, where they're taking soil from the bottoms of their fields and moving it back up to the top on a regular basis. It's kind of a brute force approach to it. So the objectives of the part of the study I'm going to talk about today were just to monitor how those soil properties change when you do this kind of landscape restoration, how that affects productivity, and Dave Archer is here in the room, and he did an initial estimate of the economic costs and benefits of doing this landscape restoration. So we have a field site near Morris, Minnesota, which is an on-farm site in a grower's field, and our site is a ridge. This would be the summit. This is the depression, and our plots extend from the summit to the toe slope. They don't go all the way into the depression. We've separated this into 6 plots, so we have 3 replicates. 3 are restored, 3 are unrestored. This alley here was just it had a little bit of slope complexity there, so we just skipped over so we would have more uniform plots. So that's what it looked like before we did the restoration. And I'm not going to go through all the soil properties. We did a large number of soil properties to characterize the site before and after we did the restoration. I'm going to focus today on the organic carbon content because it's obviously a very important soil property. This is the organic carbon content before we did the restoration. This is just overlaid on the elevation map so you can see where we are. This is just the same map in 2 dimensions to make it easier to see. So these dots here are the plot corners. So this is the toe slope. This would be the foot slope and on up here to the summit. And you can see that the plots are relatively uniform as you go across the landscape position. So we started out with a relatively uniform ridge, and these are the erosion estimates that Joe Schumacher calculated using the Wattam model. So in these slides, the blues and greens are net soil loss, and the yellows, oranges, and reds are net soil accumulation. So if we look at water erosion, we have generally soil loss throughout the backslope and soil accumulation in the depression that was beyond the toe slope of our plots. Tillage erosion rates were very high, and this is the shoulder position and the upper backslope, with net accumulation throughout the foot slope and toe slope. So when these two processes interact, you end up with high soil loss throughout the upper slope, especially in the shoulder and upper back slope, net accumulation throughout the foot slope and toe slope, and the very highest rates of soil accumulation are occurring in the depression beyond our slopes. This is a lower back slope, and in our case, this is kind of an area of smaller net soil loss. And so when we set up our plots, we removed soil from the foot slope and toe slope. Those are the areas that have soil accumulation. We added that soil up to the summit, the shoulder, and the upper back slope, and we skipped over the lower back slope. So this gives us kind of a nice check to make sure that our plots are remaining uniform. Also, that area was, it is affected by erosion, and its soil properties are affected by erosion, but because it was in that area of smaller soil loss, we just skipped over it. So we just removed the soil from the areas of soil accumulation, dumped it onto the areas of soil loss, and in our case, our grower owns earth-moving equipment, and so he did this himself. This is just what the restoration looked like. This is a plot that's already done. This is the area of soil removal. This is the area of soil addition, and then this is the lower back slope that was skipped over. You can see that he was quite careful about plot boundaries. He was quite careful to get a uniform depth of soil removed and addition. So in our case, the cost of restoration was quite high. We wouldn't expect these costs to be as high if a grower were just doing this to either clean out his waterway or to try to increase the productivity on his hilltops by doing kind of a rough and ready restoration. But in our case, he did take quite a bit of time to do that, and the cost of restoration, if you take the three restored plots, the average was about $800 per acre restored. So that's per acre where you put the soil on. And at the time this was done, was in 2006, the fall of 2006, and fuel was $2.20 a gallon, and the fuel costs alone were more than $100 per acre. So this is an expensive proposition in the way that we did it, and we're just going to take a look at whether that's worth it or not. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the soil properties because I kind of want to do the productivity as well, and I only have 15 minutes. So again, I'm just going to look at the organic carbon. And just to orient you, the solid bars are the properties before the restoration was completed, and the patterned bars are the properties after the soil was moved. And so the unrestored plots had no soil movement. There was no soil removed from the toe slope and foot slope. There was no soil added to the summit, shoulder, and upper back slope. Remember that the lower back slope, we didn't do anything. That was just skipped over, so there was no net change in organic carbon content. In the foot slope and the toe slope, we have a large accumulation of soil, of topsoil in that area. It's at least 40 centimeters of A-type material. So we removed about 15 to 20 centimeters of soil from those areas, and this is just the surface soil organic carbon content, and removing that amount of soil did not deplete the surface soil organic carbon content in the areas of soil removal. And when we look at what happened at the upper slope, of course, it's very intuitive that the organic carbon content is going to increase dramatically where we put that accumulated topsoil on. So that the organic carbon content in the surface soil of the areas of soil addition were similar to the areas that we took it from, the foot slope and the toe slope. When we look at the properties by depth, we see a more complete picture of what happened. We added 15 to 20 centimeters of soil at the summit and the shoulder and the upper back slope, and removed 15 to 20 centimeters from the foot slope and toe slope. And then the grower did chisel plowing after he did the restoration, and that tillage depth was about 20 to 25 centimeters. So in this plot, the yellows are the shoulder slope position, This is the unrestored plots. This is the average of the restored plots. You see the large increase in organic carbon content in the top 20 centimeters. This was because we added 15 to 20 centimeters of soil. But we also do see a slight increase in organic carbon content even below the depth of tillage. So I guess it could be leaching of dissolved carbon, or I don't know yet. We haven't really looked at the reasons for that in detail yet. In the toe slope, which was an area of soil removal, this is the area of the plots that didn't have any, this is the plots that didn't have any soil removal. These are the plots that had soil removal, and we just kind of see this general shift of the plot up 20 centimeters because we removed 20 centimeters of soil. So, as I mentioned, we measured a whole suite of soil properties, and I only presented the organic carbon results, but in addition to the carbon, we measured nutrient contents, we measured pH, we measured electrical conductivity, we measured gravimetric soil moisture at emergence, we monitored bulk density, resistance to penetration. Tom Schumacher is currently doing water retention properties. We monitored soil moisture throughout the growing season, and we collaborators have looked at some of the biological properties, but I don't have any of those results yet. So I guess I need to move a little more quickly. This is the crop development in 2006. 2006 was the first year after restoration. It was soybean. So in the upper slope positions, you can just visually see that the plants are larger and darker green in this area of soil addition compared to its companion area where no soil was added. However, in the toe slope, this is an area where no soil was removed. This is an area where soil was removed, and again, no soil movement. So these plants just did not do well in that first year. They were severely stunted. But I did want to point out that there was no difference in stand throughout the whole site. Stand was uniform across restored and unrestored and by landscape position. 2007 was corn grown on this plot, and we saw very similar results where the restored plots, the plants just thrived much better, especially in the early growing season. We were in a severe drought this year, and so everything suffered, but when we look at the yield, this is for the first year, so this was for soybean. We see, of course, no difference, and then lower back slope where nothing was done. We see a nice yield increase. These are areas of soil addition. These are areas where we didn't remove add soil. So we did see an expected yield increase, but we also saw, as you remember from the other slide, where we removed soil, we saw a large decrease in plant biomass development, and that was also translated to yield. We saw a very large yield reduction in the toe slope, especially of these plots. 2007, we didn't see quite as large of a yield reduction, but it still was significantly smaller in the toe slope, where we saw, again, a general yield increase in areas of soil addition. If we look at the restored plots, the yields are consistent from the summit to the toe slope. Same yield across the plot, whereas in the unrestored plots, we see this large yield depression in the areas that are subject to the most soil erosion. So to summarize quickly, it was in our plots in two severe drought years, the yield reduction in the area of soil removal matched or exceeded the yield increase we saw in the area of soil addition, so that when you average the plot from summit to toe slope, the yield was the same in the restored plots and the unrestored plot in these first 2 years. As I said, these were drought-affected years, so the lower slope positions ended up being the highest yielding portions of the plots, whereas under more typical conditions, the toe slope especially is a very low yielding area. In fact, he usually doesn't get any yield off that area at all because it either is too wet to plant or it drowns out in the spring. So these are not a normal year, but this is life, and we're going to go at least two more years to see what happens. Sorry, I took all my time.